Hello, and welcome to this episode of The Financial Translator, where we discuss financial topics in layman's terms to move you from confusion to confidence on a given topic. I am your host, Kirk Krekemeyer, the Principal Advisor at Pebble Valley Wealth Management. We are a fee-only financial advisory firm helping our clients make informed decisions on their road toward financial security. You can find more information at pvwealthmgt.com. On today's show, I'm going to provide an update on the inflation environment. Inflation has been a hot topic over the last couple of years, and while it's been coming down, although prices are still increasing, just not as fast, a lot of progress needs to be made yet to cover that last mile to get us back to that 2% level. So going to talk about that. This directly impacts how soon the Fed will be cutting interest rates, which then level of interest rates is going to indirectly impact the market environment. So that's why it matters to you. You can also reference my blog post on this topic, which includes a lot of helpful graphs, which I'll talk about today, but definitely highly recommend going to the blog post, especially for this month's podcast with these graphs. And I also have a link to my last time I blogged directly about this topic, which would have been in August of 2023. As a brief legal disclaimer, my discussions here should not be construed as financial or investment advice, and each person's situation is unique. All right, let's go. So flipping over to my blog post here, the topics I'm going to cover today, I'm going to show you the graphs. There's two main inflation indices. There's the Consumer Price Index, the CPI, which most people are familiar with, and then there's also the Personal Consumer Expenditure Index, the PCE, which is what the Federal Reserve uses. So that's very important. So I'm going to show graphs on each of those. Typically, inflation gauges are shown with called core and headline. So the headline number includes everything, all inflation. And then the core strips out more volatile components like food and energy. So obviously, we all consume those things, but economists like to strip that out to have a more stable indicator to help them discern what's going on with the inflation trends. So I'm going to look at, I'll show you, talk about each of those components, and I'm going to break in a bit more detail on the CPI, in particular the month over month, and I'll explain that in a second. And then I also break apart the PCE into goods and services and wages to kind of see some of the key drivers under there. And before we start talking about inflation, you know, obviously the inflation typically conjures up a negative image, and in general that is correct. You know, the higher cost of inflation goods, you don't want to have runaway inflation. But there are a couple of silver linings before I jump in here I want to just remind everybody about that help offset some of this impact. So again, inflation it can be bad. You know, it's going to take more money to keep up with the cost of goods. But a few things to help offset the impact. One, your savings accounts are now actually earning some kind of interest rate that you can notice. So, you know, back when inflation was below 2%, you earned virtually nothing on your savings. Now you should be earning in that 5% zip code. So that's one thing that helps offset this. The second thing, it's tax season now. I'll probably talk about that in the blog post next month, but getting taxes ready. One of the things with the IRS does each year is they adjust tax brackets and other maximum limits with inflation. So, you know, that is a benefit. You know, there's takes a higher level of income before you jump into next bracket. So that's a nice offset. And even the gifting taxes and overall estate exemption for the high net worth individuals, there's been substantial increases in substantial estate taxes offset because of that inflation adjustment. And then finally, those who are receiving Social Security benefits, definitely in 2022, you would have seen a really nice increase in your Social Security benefits. Not as high in 23, but still higher than normal recent past. So you do get those increases to offset. All right, so 3 minutes into it, let's get into the inflation topics here. So the first thing I'm going to talk about and graphs on my website is going to be talking about CPI, the Consumer Price Index. Again, most people are going to recognize this. This is what you hear in the media. Numbers typically come out in the middle of the month. February 13th was the last one here. So that's when these numbers typically come out. So I first show, I'm all about context. And so again, I'm going to show both headline and core inflation readings. The first graph I show goes all the way back to 1965. I have a fondness for that year for personal reasons. But so 1965, year I was born, shows the inflation back from there all the way up to today. Obviously, those who may remember the 70s and mid 70s and then late 70s, huge jump in inflation. So the graph shows that. And then it just has come down and just been meandering for a very long time. And then in starting in 21, we had that pop up, and now it's coming back down. So one thing to note when you look at that long-term graph, looking at 1965 to 1970, we were kind of in that 2.5%, 3% range. Inflation drifted up to 5 or 6% and then came back down to about 3 or 4, kind of like where we're at right now. But then it turned around quite violently into the 70s inflation push. So again, not saying it's going to happen here, but just recognize that inflation can turn quickly, and the Federal Reserve, which I'll talk about later, is very aware of these things and wants to make sure that that does not happen again if they can control it. So anyway, look at the graph, nice context for inflation and where it's been in the last 58 years to be exact. And then after that, just to provide a bit more granularity, show the same numbers but over the last 10 years. So pretty much the first 5-6 years of the graph, pretty much flat line, well below 2% on inflation those days. And then when COVID hit, it actually fell down a bit lower, but then things took off in March of 21 and shot up as high as getting the low nines, and then it's come back down. So currently right now, the headline CPI, including all components, is at 3.09% on a year-over-year basis. And the core, excluding the food and energy, is actually at 3.87. So still relatively elevated, but down from the heat. And again, the other quick reminder I mentioned in the intro, yes, inflation is coming down. That doesn't mean prices are dropping. It just means that prices are still going up. They're just not going up as high as they were before. So if you were kind of waiting for those prices of the grocery store from 2019, ain't going to happen. Prices are up and they're still going up. They're just not rising as much as they have in the recent past. So the CPI numbers, I mentioned February 13th was this year's release. So the market was expecting, they liked the trend, and a lot of market participants were thinking that the trend is going to keep going. And some strategists and economists would start to point to the last 3 months CPI trends and then annualize it, or the last 6 months trends and then annualize it, because again, there was this rapid pullback in the rate of inflation. However, some cold water was thrown on that in mid-February here, when the month over month, the latest reading actually ticked up a bit higher than, not a bit, but a little bit higher than the market was expecting. So it just shows you the danger of taking a short-term trend and extrapolating too far. You got to watch the data and make sure that it's going to carry out, which is what the Fed told us, which I'll get to in a second here. So so that happened in the CPI. The other component, which I'm going to talk about next here, is going to be the PCE component. That gauge is coming out in 2 days. I'm recording this on Tuesday, February 27th, at end of day here. So we get the PCE indicator actually on leap day on February 29th. And so hopefully the indicators won't leap like the leap day is, but we will see. We will see. And then I guess before I jump to the PCE, there was one more graph I show on the blog post. And what I mentioned here is, again, the inflation readings that you hear in the news is always a year-over-year numbers that they tell you about. But they obviously every month they report the monthly change, and then it chains it together. So I show a graph of these monthly indicators. Again, the same two CPI indices, just to show you that, yes, things were bubbling pretty hot in 21, 22. They've come back down on a monthly basis, but they're still above where they were prior to 2020, back when inflation was tame. And again, you can see I broke it out because you can see the last 2 months, actually, especially the last month, a little bit of a blip in these numbers back to the upside. So just be aware of that and see what happens month to month. Now shifting over to the second major inflation index, and that is the personal consumer expenditure index, the PCE index, and that is the Federal Reserve's favored measure. In general, I'm not an economist. I don't even play one on TV. But in general, the CPI is a more narrow definition of expenditures. It focuses on urban expenditures and mainly directed you know, to what consumers will do, given the name Consumer Price Index. The PCE, which is why the Federal Reserve likes it, it's a bit broader, and it does include a few business components as well. So that's why they like it. It's not any conspiracy theory. That's just they want a broader measure of what's going on. And also in general, the PCE typically does run lower than the CPI. And so when we talk about inflation here, the Federal Reserve wants to get their inflation target back to 2%. They are referencing the PCE, which, again, runs a bit lower than a CPI. So when you're looking at your CPI numbers in the news, just recognize that the PCE is a touch lower than that. How much lower? Well, let's jump to the blog post. I got the graph here. So here, again, I show the last 10 years. I show the PCE headline and core. So the headline number is the blue line on my graph. That is at 2.6%. And then the core PCE, still a little stickier. That's up at 2.93%. But again, just comparison to the CPI, I'm showing core. Core PCE, again, was 2.93. Core CPI was 3.87. So quite a bit of a difference there now. It's not nearly as high, but in general, it runs maybe, call it a 0.25 to 0.5% higher. The CPI does, higher than the PCE. So best to look at the graph on that one. But just in general, it runs a bit, PCE runs a bit lower. So I don't break out the month-to-month on the PCE yet, but again, the same concept is going to apply, and market participants are going to be watching the screens on 7:30 on Thursday morning, on this Thursday, to see what happens with the PCE this February reading coming out. Another component or another way to look at inflation is, again, I talked about headline and core, stripping out the food and energy. Another thing, the way that economists will look at it is separating goods versus services. And so it was really interesting with when COVID hit, a lot of supply chain disruptions and dynamics, a lot of people having to shift over to goods purchases. They were stuck at home, so they were just buying crap versus the services they couldn't do. And then as things opened up, that the services really turned around. So again, got a graph on my blog post showing these components. It's a busier graph, but I wanted to include a few different concepts on one graph. And so the first thing that I want to point out on the graph is I show, again, the core PCE. So that was that 2.93 I just mentioned from earlier. And then I show the core PCE of goods component, which is very low. It's actually slightly negative. And then that same core PCE of services. And that is running higher. And so you can get a sense of, overall, you hear about the PCE, the inflation indicators, but separating goods versus services. The reason that it's important is you may have heard a lot of talk. It was like, well, inflation's coming down because, supply chain disruption has been mostly behind us. Prices of cars and stuff are going down, and that's all true. But remember, wages are not going down so much. I'm going to talk about that in a second. But the services component, people still have a large demand for experiences and services. And so that demand is staying high. I think restaurants, hotels, travel. And then the wage component of the services, makes up a bigger component of that. And so again, that number is at 4.04. So, and not falling as fast. And so it's important to look underneath the hood on some of these things to get a sense of some of these underlying trends going on. What else to say here? Oh, and then wages. So again, on the same graph, I could have created a different one, but for context, I put it all in one here. So on that same graph, I also show wages inflation. Again, that's kind of it's a subcomponent of all of those, but I broke it out separately. I used the business compensation index off of the Y charts that I use here from the BLS. And that is running at a high, running at 5.6% is the last reading here. So again, jobs market is red hot, as we saw last month end jobs report. We'll get another one this Friday, I believe. Yeah, this Friday. And I'll have to double check that. I think it's this Friday, but the jobs report coming out soon to see, unemployment rate is very, very low. So demand for jobs is high, which keeps wages high. When wages stay high, inflation stays higher. So again, another pushback or another factor that may cause inflation to run a bit hotter for a bit longer. So again, look at the graph. Again, it's 5.6% is the latest wage component, wage inflation piece. So then finally, you know, that's all great, Kirk, but what does this mean for me? You know, I invest in bonds, I invest in equities, you know, I got mortgages. Talk to me here. How does this impact me? Well, the main impact that I comment here is the Federal Reserve. And so recall the Federal Reserve has two mandates. They have to keep stable prices. And so inflation starts rising, they raise rates to combat that. But at the same time, they have to also try to keep full employment. And so they don't want to be too restrictive, keep the jobs going. And so lately, their focus has been on inflation. The jobs market is red hot, so not as worried about that. But inflation was running hot. They raised rates a lot. They went from roughly 0% up to 5.25% from March of 21 until, like I said, past summer when they stopped raising. So a pretty high rate increase, pretty fast time period of doing it. But they did a good job of nipping inflation, we think, in the bud. They're still watching. So, but they're keeping the rates at 5.25% to 5.5% is their range right now. So if inflation continues to come down, the Fed is ready to start cutting rates. However, unlike the December meeting, which when things seemed quite dovish, in my opinion, at this January meeting, the January FOMC meeting, the Fed came back and said, and the market was expecting them to cut a lot of rates a lot this year. The Fed meeting came out and said, you know what, we're going to wait for more data. We need to make sure that inflation is nipped in the bud before we back off here. They feel good about the economy. Things aren't, not looking negative there. So they feel comfortable holding rates higher until they can see more. And so what this means is prior to the November meeting, and again, I got a graph on my blog post, I'm showing the CME FedWatch as a very nice, various tools, various clicks you can use on there if you know the tool well. So I'm showing the historic probabilities of various rate cuts. And I highlight the first red line on there. I show what did it look like right before the January FOMC meeting. And at that point, the market was all giddy. Remember the big rally into the year end? The market was expecting more than six rate cuts, more than six quarter point rate cuts by the end of 2024. I thought overdone, but the market is a market, so you gotta respect that. However, after that end of January FOMC meeting, the market backed off. You know, the Fed said, "Hey, we're not going to be going as fast as you think," and so they started backing off and maybe having five rate cuts. And then I mentioned earlier the surprise in February 13th, when the CPI came out, CPI reading. There again, it ran a bit hotter than expected, which reinforced the Fed's view that they want to make sure they can see the inflation's pulling back. And so then again, the market took out even more rate cuts. And so as of the end of 27th here, when I'm recording this, the graph I showed, it's a stacked graph color. And so just look at the number of colors, and each different color represents a 25 basis point rate cut. So you've got 1, 2, 3 rate cuts. There's about a 65% chance, let's call it, that by the end of the year, there will be 3 rate cuts and that's it. And then another, call it a 20% chance that there might be a 4th rate cut. But then after that, maybe a little bit on the 5th and very, very little chance of a 6th cut. So in general, market's pricing in, think of it at least 3 cuts, maybe 4, but that's what it's currently pricing in right now. So that's what it means to you. The Fed is looking at these things. They may or may not cut rates. And when they do, again, they focus on the short-term Fed funds rate. What that means for you on the longer end is as rates change, as inflation changes, that impacts longer-term interest rates. And so obviously if you're a bondholder, there's a direct impact. I'll remind you again, duration, know your duration formula and how much duration you have in the bonds you hold. So that's going to impact the bond prices directly because of that on the longer end. But also, too, on equities, you know, the higher rated interest rate environment generally will have a pullback in valuations. People aren't willing to pay as much for future earnings from equities if interest rates are high. Since the heat of the end of the 2023, interest rates have backtracked. They've risen about half of what they've fallen toward the end of last year. So bond prices are feeling that, but equities really haven't adjusted as much. I mean, definitely equities stopped ripping as strongly as they were, but they're still running pretty hot. And so they haven't really adjusted for that. And, you know, something that bears watching. So, you know, with the the earnings season is kind of over right now, generally speaking, a few more to go. But so near-term catalysts, markets are watching are going to be the inflation readings. You know, you've got PCE and CPI, the jobs report, and then that's going to inform the next FOMC meeting, which is going to be March 20th. So not only will we get an update on their thinking of, inflation and potential rate cuts, but they also provide an update to their summary of economic projections. So lots of fun stuff to look forward to. So that is my very deep dive, I guess. So thanks for staying with me, but my deeper dive on inflation. Again, CPI surprised in mid-February, so we're going to see what happens with PCE in a couple days. This is going to be directly impacting what the Fed does, which impacts interest rates, which is going to impact your valuations directly on bonds for sure, but in theory, equities as well. So we will see. So that's the topic for today. For those here in Chicago area, hopefully you're enjoying this spring-like weather we had at the end of February. And for those that are wondering where the heck this month went to already, just remember you have an extra day in the month this year. So happy leap day. All right, that's a wrap on today's topic. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Financial Translator. I hope this discussion helped clear up any confusion and will lead to more confident financial decisions. Thanks for your time. And be sure to check out all of our resources at pvwealthmgt.com. Until next time, go confidently.